I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Imagine your daughter is at school one day. You think she's safe, but later you find out that she and hundreds of her classmates were loaded onto vehicles and abducted. That's what happened to some 200 schoolgirls in northeast Nigeria. They're believed to have been kidnapped 2 weeks ago by members of the Islamic insurgent group Boko Haram. Since then, there's been no official word on the girls' fate. Their parents are growing increasingly angry at Nigeria's government for failing to rescue them. Nigerian writer Adobe Trisha Nubani is in the capital, Abuja. She says the lack of concrete information about the abducted girls has all of Nigeria feeling on edge.
Of course, there have been rumors that the girls have been distributed to different camps. Some have been sold off into marriage across the borders, Cameroon, Niger, Chad. There are all these stories filtering in, all these rumors, but none of it has been verified.
Are you getting any satisfaction from the Nigerian government when questions are asked? Are they answering any of them? Are media there asking those questions?
We had the situation where the Nigerian government misinformed us about the rescue. We were told that the girls had been rescued, and it turned out that they weren't. Since then, we haven't heard any formal communication from the government regarding what exactly they're doing. Now, there's speculations that there could be some high-powered operation going on behind the scenes about which they're not telling us anything because it's secret or what. There are speculations along those lines. But at the same time, there's no formal communication, and it's also creating suspicion, generating more outrage, criticism. So we're not really sure at this time. Most of the news coming in, it's coming in form of rumors and people being interviewed on the streets of Chibok.
I mean, there was already shaky confidence in Nigeria's military, and I gather it's plummeted even deeper with their inability to rescue these girls. How deeply does that translate in terms of Nigeria's own federal government now being on the ropes? I mean, have these girls now focused attention on the government's dysfunction?
It's got to the point where our government is clearly not able to handle the situation, and we should reach out for foreign aid of some sort, foreign assistance of some sort. There's no shame in saying we've done as much as we can. We want to do our best, but our best is not good enough. Let's reach out for help. Of course, it affects the chances of President Jonathan being reelected. Everybody suddenly looks at his government, not suddenly, but everybody sees clearly that in terms of security, we don't think our government is up to the task. We don't think our armed forces are equipped to handle this kind of challenge. And that's why we're saying, while we're building ourselves, getting better, progressing, we can ask for foreign help, people who are more experienced in dealing with this kind of thing.
Do you think the office of President Goodluck Jonathan is willing to ask for that help?
Well, we don't know. I read an article in the paper yesterday saying that France is offering some assistance to our government. But like I said, a lot of this is shrouded in secrecy. Nobody's talking about these things openly. The government isn't saying anything. And then, of course, there have been allegations in the past that people in our armed forces are, assisting Boko Haram. So maybe they're keeping everything close to their chest to avoid things getting worse for them or the news getting out. We don't know.
Adobe, how would you say the public reaction to these kidnappings of these girls? How's it been different from other recent tragedies involving Boko Haram in Nigeria?
In the past, especially in the recent past, we've had situations where children were murdered in their dormitories. We've had situations like that. But I think the difference is that when you hear the news of children murdered in their dormitories, your imagination is allowed to assume that the children are somewhere up above singing with the angels and they've gone to a happier place. But the fact that these girls are still alive, it's a present continuous agony for us and obviously for them. It's been 2 weeks. We don't know what is happening to them. We don't know what is being done with them, to them. So this, it makes it all the more horrifying. I think that's the difference between the recent killings and this situation. So there's a fresh horror to which we've been introduced that we haven't been before, because the girls are still alive and going through whatever it is they're going through, even as you and I speak at this moment.
Has that unified Nigerians in a way that other tragic events haven't?
Yes. I know there's been this sense that there's mayhem in the northeast of Nigeria, but now everybody's emotionally involved. We're talking about it like we're talking about our children. Nobody's seen it as carnage in the northeast part of Nigeria. No, we're hearing from the southeast, from the south, the southwest, every part of the country. The north is saying this cannot happen in our land. These are our children. These are innocent children, girls who went to school that are going through this, the people who need the most protection from us. So we feel the horror in a new way that we haven't before.
It's noteworthy, I think, that there was that horrible ferry disaster in South Korea 2 days after these Nigerian girls were taken from their school in Chibok. And yet the coverage of the Sewol ferry sinking overwhelmed the international press, and the Nigerian girls got far less attention. I guess it's kind of same old when it comes to coverage of Africa, but this is this brave new world of 24/7 coverage of everything around the world. How does that sit with Nigerians who are pretty media savvy?
With the South Korean ferry disaster and with the Malaysia aircraft disappearing, this issue, the countries put up some sort of show. There was all sorts of assistance being called in. There were rescue missions. So there was something for the media to focus on every day. Flights, simulations, you know, you're interviewing people. But in this situation, there was no rescue operation. There was no show to put up. We had nothing that the press could come, you know, no show to invite the international media to. I think that was one of the reasons why it was undercovered. If the Nigerian government had said, we're channeling all our forces into the Sambisa forest and we're going to make sure, I would imagine that some sort of media coverage would have accompanied that, in quote, show. So I think that might have had, we're largely to blame, I think, for that. Because if not for some of us writing in the international media, people on social media, and then, you know, it might have vanished from the national consciousness by now, from the government's consciousness, not the consciousness of Nigerians. So Nigerians have made an effort to make sure that this isn't forgotten the way several other incidents in the past have forgotten. I suspect that the government could easily have forgotten about it. There was no rescue operation for the world to cover.
Yeah, it's kind of a sad statement, though, that a mass kidnapping needs to be packaged properly for the international press to be interested.
I feel we have a need to take responsibility for our issues as well. I would rather not point fingers at the outside world. So it's people like us. We have the responsibility to tell these stories to the world and get the world interested.
Well, it is a big problem. We hope these girls get rescued soon and safely. Nigerian writer Adobe Trisha Nobani speaking with us from Abuja, the Nigerian capital. Thank you very much for your thoughts on this.
Okay.